Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today and us coming together and learning our God's Word. There's nothing more important in this life than learning God's Word and giving Him glory. That's what we're here for, and that's what we're waiting on, is for our Lord to come back. And out of all the things that are said in the Scriptures, the thing that's talked about the most and the thing that's prophesied the most is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His second coming. But we know, of course, as being Christians in the church, that we know that the Lord is going to come and get us before He comes back on that second advent. And we are looking forward to that. And it could be today. The way that things are turning out and things are changing in the world completely. I'm not talking about just changing for a day. I'm talking about permanently changing. And you know that as well as I do, and you can see it. So we should have the mindset. We should always have had it, but it takes time to learn how to wait on the Lord and to give your devotion and your allegiance to Him. And to be devoted to His Word and what He says, and to believe Him that He's telling us the truth, and to believe in Him that He's not going to let us down, that He's going to be there. When everything's said and done, He's going to be the one that told us the truth, and He's going to come through every time. And if we told the truth about the matter in our own lives, the Lord has never not came through for us, has He? He's always came through for us, and we can be confident of that. And the thing about it is we just need to remember, just remember what He's done for us, and keep moving, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are before. So today we're going to go back into our study of life triumphant, life triumphant. You know, sometimes it is so hard, talking about life now. What we're talking about is, what is life? We're trying to find out what the definition of life is. Now, we're studying a lot of things having to do with life, and the Bible talks about life in many, many, many different things, and different sorts of life, and different kinds of life. And like eternal life and spiritual life and triumphant life and the carnal life and all kinds of life. Well, if you think, the Bible is a living book. It's God's Word. It's Jesus Christ in the written form. Jesus said, He said that He was the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. And talking about life triumphant is hard sometimes, because just about the time you go trying to talk about life triumphant, there's some kind of mess in your life, right? But you know, I'm encouraged. The enemy fights me like crazy, especially when it comes to talking about something triumphant or some victory or something like that on these recordings. And he fights me like crazy and gives me such a hard time about this matter. But, you know, after it's all said and done, after we've been talking about this triumphant life, when we're done and we say amen and goodbye until the next recording, aren't you encouraged? I am. I'm encouraged, and I needed to be reminded of all that, and needed to know that God's Word said those things so I can trust in them. See, that's the idea. We get this, we get God's Word in our minds, and we hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and we become saturated with God's Word, and we actually become God's Word dwelling in us. And that's what God the Holy Ghost wants to do, is enrich us with God's Word. And it turns us Christ-like. And that's what the Lord promised He was going to do when we were born again, is conform us into the image of Christ. So let's go ahead and begin. We've been talking about life triumphant, and we've been in several recordings on this so far. We talked about life triumphant over what? We talked about life triumphant through what? And then we began talking about, well, I think that was the last one that we talked about was on the last recording, and we finished that one up, and today we're going to begin on Life Triumphant for How Long? Life Triumphant for How Long? It's a, you know, when we have victories down here on earth, it seems like, I mean, we live in time. The Lord lives in eternity, and we can't really understand a lengthy triumph, a victory that's over with. We have the victory forever and ever and ever and ever. But you know, the Bible talks about that, and the Bible says that we do have that. We do have the victory forever and ever and ever and ever. Life triumphant for how long? Well, let's see what the Scripture says. In 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Now, we read this last time. You remember this Scripture. "And to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, that's what the Bible says. It says, when the Lord comes and gets us, and we're caught up there, it's hard to imagine. I look up in the sky a lot more now than I ever have in my entire life. And the Lord says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And plus, the heavens declare the glory of God, and I like watching and looking, because the Lord paints a beautiful sky every day, and just seeing His majesty and all that. But one day, He says that we're going to rise off of this ground, or we're going to come out of the grave, one of the two, and we're going to meet Him in the air. Now, if there was going to be anything different, then the Lord would have told us, because He's not the author of confusion, and He doesn't try to confuse us. And in His Word, He doesn't confuse us if we're sincere and honest to learn about it. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, that's the ones that come out of the grave, in the clouds. Now, I ain't never been able to jump that high. And I've never been able to do that under my own power. And there's only one that has ever done that under His own power, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ at His ascension. Was under His own power, was able to ascend, and went, and the clouds received Him. Remember the Bible says? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're talking about life triumphant for how long? Well, life triumphant forever. Forever. Once we get with the Lord, nobody's ever going to take us away from Him again. Ever. You know, that happened one time. It happened in Eden. And it's never going to happen again. The Lord has been correcting that problem. He made a plan and He corrected it. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. And whosoever will gets to go back and be with the Lord if they'll accept Jesus and believe on Him. The ones that don't are going to die and go to hell. And the Lord's going to punish them forever and ever and ever. And that's what the Bible says. Life triumphant forever. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, listen to this. So when this corruptible, talking about our corruptible bodies, and every time I look in the mirror, I can see it getting more and more that way. When this, isn't that funny how man is so smart, and the very things that God calls corruptible and vile, they look in the mirror and imagine to themselves that they're walking around showing it off and everything. The Lord said, cover it up, man. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Forever. The Bible says, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There'll be no more death. The Lord's going to destroy death, and we're going to live forever, and we're going to have life triumphant forever. Forever. I don't know what that is. I don't know how to describe that to you. Life is not that way down here. Life natural is not that way. Matter of fact, the majority of this life natural in the body is negative. Most of life natural down here, and you have people that are positive and they think positive, and nothing wrong with positivity, but nothing wrong with positivity if you're a realist, if you believe in things that are real. And like the hippies back in the big hippie march when they had the hippie days, one of them says, we're not really here, man. We just think we are. Things that are real. The natural life, really, in reality, is 80-90% negative. Triumphs that we have, we learn how to do things by learning how not to do them, by making mistakes and doing the wrong things. And we only go so far, I mean, with entropy and the breaking down of everything in the world that we can look at. The sun's wearing out, the earth's wearing out, we're wearing out, everything's wearing out. You call that victory and triumph? That's not victory and triumph. That's not victory and triumph in life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, Paul said. He says, if this is all we got to look forward to, man, you're done. And you are. People, 5-year-olds, like we talk about, can't, in 5 years, can't see enough. You know, 5-year-olds don't think about death and don't think about life. They just live it, man. But not today. A child comes into this world, it starts looking around itself and its environment and its surroundings, and it grows up to 5 years old, and it decides that there's nothing here for it and goes and hangs itself in the bedroom. You tell me, that's life triumphant? Uh-uh. Life down here, naturally, and life, this is nothing that's going to be like life triumphant forever. Never have to think about defeat again. Never have to think about negative and negativity and things that are sinful negative. Never have to worry about sinning again. Never have to worry about thinking a filthy, nasty thought and having to fight negative thoughts and fight hatred and fight malice and fight this and fight that. Never have to do that again. We'll have the mind of Christ. The Bible says in Romans, listen to this, in chapter 8 and verse 35, beginning there, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution? Now, these are the triumphant things in this life. Tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're talking about a man right there that was living. If anybody in this life was living a life that he could have called miserable, it would have been Brother Paul. Paul right there, when he's writing that right there, he has been beaten. He's wearing marks on his body, on his flesh, from being beaten for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He has been in prison. He has suffered hunger. He has suffered tribulation and distress and famine and nakedness, and been stuck out in the ocean floating around for a day and a half, and been in shipwrecks. Been chased around by the Jewish, what do you want to call them? the big shots, the religious big shots, they wanted to kill him. They followed him around everywhere wanting to destroy him. And then there was people that took vows that they would die, that they wouldn't eat before they killed him. I mean, all kinds of living a life like that. On the run, if you would, but not really on the run. And look what he says. He says that he is persuaded, whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's talking about forever, that nobody can get it. He says, shall tribulation, shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's speaking from experience. All these things that he's mentioning right here has been in his face and in his life. He said, as it is written, and he's going by the word of God, by the way, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then look what he answers. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If anybody in this life had a reason to complain and a reason to gripe about the way Christians have to live, waiting on the Lord, it was him. But he didn't do that. He said that he's persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, depth, or any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Talking about life triumphant for how long? Life triumphant forever. That's what the Bible says. So you can believe that. Not only because the Apostle Paul said it, but because because he said it, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. But because our Lord chose to have that said in his word, and we can trust his word and should trust his word. If somebody says that that there's no life after this, you can tell them that they're a fool because that's not what the Bible says. And you know better than that. There are people that got all kind of strange ideas about what's going on, and some people don't even care, and some people are looking. Where is life? What's this going to end up like? Where is life going? Most people in this life right now, in the natural body, in the natural life, are thinking, is this it? Is this all? But, no, not God. I'll find it. I'll find where it's at. And that's the attitude of most of the people in this life. Most of the people in this life are going to die and go to hell forever. Are going to end up in the lake of fire. But the ones that are seeking life and willing to listen to the Lord, the Lord's ready to give it to them, just like he gave it to us. Life triumphant for how long? Life triumphant forever. What else? Life triumphant always, the Bible says. Now, we looked at that. It says that it's forever. Ever and ever, the Bible said. Okay? It also, life triumphant always, the Bible says. How long? Life triumphant for how long? Always. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Wow. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We're doing it right now. The Lord is making manifest the savor of his knowledge to us right now, right this very minute, giving us his eternal word that's going to be around for eternity. That book that you're reading right there, and those words that you're studying right now, and this truth that the word is going to be eternal. We're studying eternal things, not temporal things. But always, life triumphant For how long? Life triumphant forever. We've read the Scripture. We know that the Scripture teaches us that. We can believe it because that's what it says. You don't have to worry about your future. If you're born again and you have believed on Jesus Christ and you're saved and you're part of the body of Christ, you don't have any worries about winning the victory. You win. Now, what goes on down here? Who knows? Time and chance, King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Time and chance. Nobody knows who's going to win the race by being strong. Nobody knows this. Nobody knows that. It doesn't work out like that. And everybody's got all their, well, you go get a big education. You study science. You do this. You do that. You look up at the telescope and look at all the things out and look as far as you can away from the earth and blah, 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 blah. And you get nowhere. Nowhere. But you sit down here and you study an eternal God's Word and receive Jesus Christ, His Son, as your Savior by faith, you win everything, even in this life. I'm glad this is not all we got to look forward to, aren't you? Let's move on. Life triumphant for how long? Life triumphant forever, and life triumphant always. Now, talking about life triumphant, there's a few more things we want to talk about, and one of them is life triumphant for whom? Life triumphant for whom? Who gets this triumph? Who gets this victory? And I suppose you've already answered that. You know who gets this victory, but let's see what the Scriptures say. Does everybody get a triumphant life forever and always? Afraid not. Afraid not. There's probably people, I don't know how many people you've known that have died and that have went into eternity. But do you think you've ever known anybody that has died and went into eternity lost? I have. I've known several of them. I've known a few of them that I should have witnessed to and could have witnessed to if I'd have been living right. And won't ever have the chance again. And the only hope that I have for them is that somewhere in their life they receive the Lord as their Savior somewhere. Because I sure didn't tell them about it. But life triumphant for whom? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For those that are in Christ. Life triumphant for whom? Those that are in Christ. The Bible says that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Lord is not going to condemn you. Now, He might tear your hind end up as a son for misbehaving and not walking like you're supposed to be walking as one of God's children. It ain't about a courtroom anymore and you going in God's courtroom as a sinner. It's you going in God's... You going in the Lord's study and having to answer for your behavior to a father. That's what it's about now. But life triumphant for whom? Life triumphant for everybody that's in Christ. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You cannot be condemned as a child of God anymore, because the righteousness of Christ is on you and your condemnation has been paid for, and you have received forgiveness of sins. Now, as far as walking around in this flesh, we're still in this body, and this flesh is evil, and the Lord declared it evil, and it's vile, and it wants its own way, and it will misbehave if you let it. But the condemnation as far as us being a child of God, there is none. There's no time that the Lord's ever going to point his finger to you and condemn you, ever. Not even at the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord said that we're going to receive the good things that we've done good and lose the things that we've done bad as far as being in the body and being born again. But that's as far as rewards go. That's not as far as punishment. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Your condemnation is over with. It's gone. Christ paid for it. If there was any condemnation, then Christ, whatever you are condemned about, would be something that's in God's law. And you're not under the law. You're under grace because Christ has paid for it. And if you can be condemned, then whatever you're condemned about, Christ didn't pay for that. And if he didn't pay for everything, then what else didn't he pay for? He paid for everything. The Lord said, "It is finished." One time for all men. One time for all men. He paid for it. You can't be condemned for those that are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that the Lord's never going to condemn me. I have a hard enough time. Not a hard enough time. It's an honor to be a child of God. What I mean is fighting the enemy and him trying to get you to misbehave and trying to get you away from Christ. I mean, one thing that the enemy is always up to is trying to steal your love away from the Lord. He can't get you now. You're not condemned. You're under God's love and his care. He can't get you. But he can try to take your love away from the Lord and get you focused on something else and try to get your lusts of your flesh controlling you and try to get your flesh controlling you. But that doesn't change anything as far as you being not condemned. Christ, life triumphant for whom? Life for those that are in Christ. That's not all. For those who were dead in sins, the Bible says. Now, that's the same thing, but it says it. And we need to read it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 7. The Bible says, let me find that. Okay, there it is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 through 7. Listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Part of you is already there with the Lord, sitting with him. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord wants to show his kindness to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and already has, because he's given him, and the Lord obeyed the Father and went through and shed his blood and his broken body and his death and then resurrected, and it's paid for forever. But we were dead in sins. We had no hope and without God in the world. No hope. We couldn't save ourselves. We had no way of getting out of death. But the Lord came because of his great mercy wherewith he loved us. And while we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Life triumphant for whom? Aren't you glad the Lord came into your life that day, or the Lord met you that day and introduced you to Jesus Christ and gave you the opportunity to believe on him, and you did, and he changed you? Aren't you glad that happened? I am. It's real, isn't it? It's never left you, has it? He has never left you, has he, since that time? You might not know the exact moment, the exact time, the exact place, the exact this or exact that. Most people don't. But you know it's there, don't you? You know it happened. Yep, me too. triumph. Life triumph. Life triumphant for who? Well, for those that are in Christ and for those who were dead in sins. And that's not all. Also, for those that are born of God and believe. Now, all of these things are talking about the same thing, being born again and being saved. But we're looking at the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say. Those that are in Christ, those who were dead in sins, and also for those that are born of God and believe. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. Listen to this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. For those that are born of God and believe. The ones that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what the Scripture says about the gospel of the grace of God, that the Son of God came into the world and shed his blood for all men, died, was buried, resurrected, and went back to the Father. And if you believe that, and you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are born again and born into the family of God, and you are triumphant and have a triumphant life, not only now, but ahead of you. Paul said, nobody can mess it up. Nobody can take it from us. Life triumphant for whom? For those that are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Then you have life triumphant. Those that were dead in sins, were you dead in sins? I was. Amen. And for those that are born of God and believe, is that you? Amen. Then we have life triumphant. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. So we should believe what God says about life. Triumphant. And that's not all. Let's look at one more. Life triumphant. The goal. The goal. What is the goal? Life triumphant. The goal. Well, the goal of life triumphant is to demonstrate God's grace. There's a difference in people that think they have triumph in this life, in the body, living a carnal life. People call victory and triumph a whole lot of different things in this life, in the natural life. But it's not scriptural, and it's not so, and it doesn't last. Death usually clears out all the triumph that's in the natural life. Everybody that thinks, like they say, you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take anything with you if your triumph is in things. You're going to be dead, and your brain's going to be dead and eat by worms, so your intelligence and your scientific knowledge and all your biblical blah, 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 and all the things that you know and you're proud of, and your DDs and ADs and HRs and all that behind your name with the periods, and all that cockamamie stuff that you think is so important, is that triumph? Well, that's going to be eaten by the worms. God's not a respecter of persons. He don't care how much you know. Is that triumph? Most of what people think triumph is, and the goal of being triumph, is vanity. Because no matter what kind of, they say, make plans, make plans, make plans, make plans, put up for the future, put up for the future. What future? What future are you talking about? The grave? That's everybody's future. You're going to be put to bed with a shovel. Unless the Lord comes. And unless you know the Savior. life triumphant. The goal is to demonstrate God's grace. That's what we're to do here while we're waiting on the Lord to come. Ephesians chapter 3, listen to this. Well, sorry for that pause there just a minute. I had a little hiccup. You're going to find those in these recordings. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 10. Listen to this. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Life triumphant, the goal is to demonstrate God's grace. That's what Paul said right there. And Paul said he was the least of all Christians. That was his humility. And he said that he was to go around and show people what the fellowship, to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. To tell people about the grace of God. Now, some people are going to spit on you for it, and some people don't care, and they're going to laugh at you and mock you and everything else, but that don't make the Bible untrue because they don't care. All that means is they're stupid and they're going to die and go to hell. But to demonstrate God's grace, life triumphant, we are not to be sitting around trying to figure out how to be triumphant in the flesh, because you're never going to be triumphant in the flesh. And if you do have a good day in the flesh, it's only temporal, isn't it? It don't last. And it's never going to last until we get our new bodies. But our business in the spirit, being born again, living in the body, is to demonstrate life triumphant by demonstrating God's grace. Tell people what God has done for you. I wrote a little track up. It's nothing, but as far as passing out tracks, I wrote out how I got saved in just a little pamphlet. And it's all true because it's all my testimony. And it's not in detail. It's just a fundamental way that I was over in Germany in the military and how I got saved. And then put the plan of salvation on it. And I tell people, this is something that happened to me when I was in Germany. And it's about me, and it happened to me in Germany. And I'd like for you to read it. And I wrote a little story about it. And I give it to folks. And I've never heard anybody say anything. I put the gospel in it and put my name and number on it. But nobody's ever written to me. And maybe I'll walk up on somebody in heaven one day and they'll say that they got saved off of that. I don't know. But we are to demonstrate God's grace. And you wouldn't do wrong by sitting down and writing out how God saved you and putting it on a piece of paper and make a little track out of it and go give it to people. People are always interested in hearing what God has done for somebody. They might act like they hate God and act like this and act like that, but when somebody hears, let me tell you what God did for me, everybody listens. Don't you? When you hear somebody say, let me tell you what God did for me, isn't that immediately interesting to you? It is to me. That's not all. Demonstrate God's grace. Listen to this, Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Yeah. Tell people what God's done for you. Don't be ashamed. We have no reason to be ashamed of what God's done for us, do we? He's been very kind to us. Very, very kind to me. And I'm ashamed of myself for allowing the enemy to make me ashamed. Aren't you? But that's what he does, doesn't he? He's always there. And just about the time you want to give God some glory for your triumphant life and the goal and to demonstrate God's grace and to tell people about it, he's always there to try to sabotage it, isn't he? Well, that's his business. But one day his business is going to be burning in the lake of fire. That's not all. Life triumphant, the goal. To demonstrate God's grace, to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to give God glory? Of course you do. Don't you want to give the Lord Jesus Christ glory in the eyes of the world and everybody that's listening and for your life and just that God would get the glory? If you're born again, you have it in you that you want your Lord to have the glory. You do. I do and you do. And we want him to have it. 1 Peter chapter 4, listen to this. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. It says if we speak, we're talking about the Word of God or for ministering or whatever ability God has given you or given me, that we're to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's difficult because people in this world make it hard for you to glorify God sometimes. You'd rather hit, rather choke them. But we don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's what the Bible says. It's not a commandment. I mean, it could be a commandment, but it's not a commandment to us that love God and have had him demonstrate his kindness to us. Actually, it's a privilege, isn't it? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just like the Lord was saying in another place, he said, when you've done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. My daughter had that sticker up on the wall I was telling you about that says, I owe you, Lord. And we do. And we do. And I want to feel like I owe the Lord. Because when I get to where I don't feel like I owe him, I mean, not owe him because he is a taskmaster, because he's not. He is a kind, wonderful Lord that loves us and don't take any garbage off of anybody and can't be manipulated. And you got to respect that. What kind of God would he be if he let people walk on him and manipulate him? You say, well, he puts up with all the sin. Yeah, that's his long suffering. That's his love. That's his grace. That ain't him taking no garbage off nobody. The Lord said, "You want to give me some lip?" He said, "I'll meet you face to face. I don't go hide in the corner because I'm scared of you." He said, "I'll meet you face to face, Buster." And he does. God ain't scared of nobody. Man wants to stand up and challenge the Lord, he'll take his challenge. Call him an idiot and laugh at him. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Man made out of dirt and mud stands up and God breathes in him and gives him life and he becomes a living soul and he raises his fist up to his God. What would you do if you had a little thing that you made out of clay and a little person that you made out of clay and everything and you kind of liked him and created him and then breathed on him and all of a sudden he came alive? And you're looking at him like, hey, I made that. And then he turns around and raises his fist up to you. What would you do? Why, you'd squash him and smash him like a fly, wouldn't you? God didn't do that. He sent his son to be crucified. so that he could save that miserable piece of garbage that's holding his fist up to God. Isn't our God good? John 15, verse 8, listen to this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You say life's triumphant. The goal is to demonstrate God's grace and to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How? By bearing fruit. Take those talents that the Lord has given you and exercise them for the Lord. He's not talking about bearing fruit in this life. He's talking about bearing spiritual fruit in this life. Things that are spiritual. Any talent that the Lord has given, that the Lord has given you, is for bearing spiritual fruit. Not for your profit and not for your little doodads and living in the flesh and stuff like that. That's never going to work. The Lord's not going to give you a talent that he's going to let you profit with in the flesh. If he gives you a talent, it's going to be for spiritual prosperity and glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Father. And God the Holy Ghost will use it, and he'll perfect it in you and make it to where you can bear fruit, bear more fruit, and bear much fruit, the Bible says. John chapter 15, verse 8. Now, there's one other. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there it is. Life, triumphant, the goal. To demonstrate God's grace, to glorify God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Do you have an ability? Do you have a talent that God has given you? I've seen some talent in some men that is incredible. Guys that just sit around and they could just... for instance, something that's always impressed me is a guy that can draw. Or a girl that can draw. And they just sit down, they take a pencil, and they just doodling. And that thing comes out to be a masterpiece. And I can't draw a good stick man. And they've got this talent, and they're not the least bit interested in it. That's a spiritual talent. That's something that the Lord has given. And it's not going to be profitable in this life at all, as far as fleshly and carnal things. The talents that the Lord has given you are spiritual, are to be used spiritually, to bear fruit. To bear what kind of fruit? Spiritual fruit. People being born again, saved, people being exhorted, people being exalted, people being encouraged, helping the brethren. I mean, just all the things that have to do with spirituality in this life. Life triumphant. That's a pretty neat thing, isn't it? You know, Boris Becker, the German tennis champion, I mean, that was back in 1990. You know what he said? He said, tennis is life. Really? When Fischer, the American chess player, beat Spassky, the Russian, he said, chess is life. Really? The Apostle Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Completely different thing there, isn't it? You know, something that we need to keep in mind about this discussion of life in the Scriptures is that when we read the word life, it'll be speaking of one of three different tenses of life, kind of like similar to the way it speaks of salvation. And I don't know if you've been through that study yet, the assurance of salvation, letter A, but if you haven't, the Bible talks about salvation being in three different tenses. Not that it's different in every tense and not having anything to do with you being saved or not being saved. It's just the way that the Bible speaks of salvation in three different ways. Okay, we have to study the verse concerning life. We have to study the verse closely to be sure which tense it's talking about. For instance, life eternal. We've studied some of that. Life natural. Well, when the Bible's talking about something in life natural, it's not talking about it in life eternal. You see the difference? And you have to be careful in the Scriptures when you're reading in the Scriptures, especially about life, because it talks so much about life. Because you could be reading something about life eternal and applying it to the natural life, and it wouldn't make sense. You see what I'm saying? Life eternal, life natural, or life spiritual. The Bible talks about all three of them in many, many, many different places. So you have to know which area of life the Scriptures are talking about. Now, we've seen this in our study of life so far. God is a Trinity, and everything that is real is made up of three. So is life. Life is made up of three. You are made up of three. You are spirit, soul, and body. And you need to believe that. Because, first of all, it's true, and it says it in the Scriptures. And because God says it, that's what we believe. Because that's our doctrine. That's what we believe, because God said so, our final authority. And it's true. And the more you believe it, the more you see it. By faith. For instance, life is a Trinity. Let's take, if you got a little piece of paper there, and write down life is a Trinity, right in the middle of the page. Let me just show you something. I'm just going to give you a little something to look at to compare. Life is a Trinity. Now, over on the left below that, put the heading, the Godhead. You're going to make four columns. The first column is going to be the Godhead, underlined. Okay, move over to the right just a little bit. Put life, what we're talking about, what our study's about. Life, underlined, second column. The third column, just to the right, salvation. The third column, underlined. And then the very far right, man, M-A-N, underlined. Okay, we're talking about Trinity. And this is what we're studying about life. And I'm just showing you an example of how life is made up of three. Okay, over on the left under Godhead, put the Father. And under that, the Lord Jesus Christ. And under that, God the Holy Ghost. That's the Godhead, made up of three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now under life, put life eternal on the first. Under that, put life natural. And under that, put life spiritual. Now let's move over to the right under salvation. Now right up under salvation, before you get to that first line there, write in parentheses, man is saved from, put that down, in parentheses under salvation. Man is saved from, and then on the first line beside life eternal there, under salvation, put presence of sin. These are the three different tenses of salvation. Presence of sin, under that, penalty of sin. And under that, power of sin. Those are the three tenses that man is saved from when he is born again. He's saved from the presence of sin. That's when the Lord comes and gets us. The penalty of sin. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died. He saved us from eternal damnation. and going to hell, and then the power of sin. That's what the Lord saves us from daily, from the power of sin. Okay, and then under man, right, soul, body, and spirit. Then draw your line all the way around that, squared off. And look at the similarities in all of them. All of them are trinities. The Godhead is a trinity. Life is a trinity. Salvation is trinity. And man is a trinity. And look at the first line. The Father represents eternal life. And that's what the Lord saved us from, is the presence of sin to get us completely out of this sinful environment, the sin altogether, and the Lord has made a plan to erase sin altogether. Well, what does that do for man? It saves his soul. It preserves his soul. And the Lord did that for us. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ over on the left. That represented in life, the natural life. The Lord came and took on a body, a natural body. And he saved us from the penalty of sin. Or the first one was presence of sin. I'm sorry. Yeah, I said that. Okay, but the Lord Jesus Christ saved us from the penalty of sin, didn't he? And what did he save? He saved our body, soul, and spirit, but particularly a body is what the Lord Jesus Christ had to do with. He gave his body to be broken and to shed blood. Look at that third one, the Holy Spirit. Represents life spiritual, and he saves us from the power of sin. God the Holy Ghost dwells in us and saves us from the power of sin over us every day, every minute, every hour. And look at man, spirit. You see? Probably not the best explanation, and some guys can probably explain that to you a lot better than I did, but it's there, isn't it? You know, the Bible says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's what it says in 1 John 5:7. Now, you're never going to understand it. I mean, you do understand it after you believe it for a long time and you learn God's Word. It starts to come together and you see the Lord as one and three, and you have peace with it. But as far as explaining it, nah, forget it. You're never going to explain that, not until we get to be with the Lord and understand it. You just believe it. And the Bible says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's not holy as in righteous holy. It's holy as in the whole thing. Wholly. The entirety. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, clean all of you up. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So what is life? Do we know yet? Well, we have talked about many things having to do with life so far. We began this study talking about life, and we talked about some definitions, some of man's definitions of life. You might remember some of them. Then we talked about life natural. You remember that? We talked about life natural. We talked about life eternal and what the Bible has to say about life eternal. We talked about life spiritual. Life spiritual. And what we have just finished, as far as a category in our study of life, is life the triumphant Christian. Life the triumphant Christian. Well, next recording, we're going to go into another category. And we're going to stay on life. We're talking about life and what the Bible says about life. But we're going to talk about some things that the Lord said himself about life. Some things the Lord said about life. It's going to be good. So I hope that you'll join in. Let me give you these scriptures again, okay? And I'm sorry for my stuttering and blah, 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 but you know. So we'll just you bear with me, I'll bear with you, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? All right, the first scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Psalms chapter 66, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. John chapter 15, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And the last one for today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, if you want all these things already written down for you and already on the page where all you have to do is just print them, just write me at barnhouseministries at gmail.com and I will send them to you. And all you have to do is print them. You have them right there for our studies. And I have them they run parallel with our study, and the studies I have also on paper that you can just print right out, and as we're talking about it, you go right down through there and fill in the blanks. And it's pretty neat. Just as the Lord said, buy the truth and sell it not. As many different ways you can learn God's Word through your eyes, through your ears, through hearing, through speaking, through listening, through reading, through writing, whatever you can do to get God's Word in you, do it. So if you want them, just write me and ask for it, and I'd be happy to send them to you. Well, that's it for today. So some things the Lord said about life. We'll start that on the next recording, okay? And thank you again for, brother, sister, thank you for studying God's Word. Thank you. You know, the world's getting now to where even the assemblies, even the churches that are assembling are being challenged. And you can see where the authorities are moving in and how this is going to end up. The Lord's already said how it's going to end up, but you can see that it's all gearing up for the Antichrist to step in. And before he does, the Lord's going to come and get us. So any day now, the Lord's coming. Let's be about his business and let him find. If he came right this very second, I wouldn't be ashamed of him finding me like this. Would you? Of course not. Praise the Lord and thank you for honoring the Lord. You always do when you honor him and honor his word. And the Lord will make sure that you're rewarded and that you know that he's pleased with that. So the Lord bless you, and I'll talk to you on the next recording, okay? If the Lord will. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.